Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events, such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped down the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult, season 2. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. The story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to all of you to Afterglow Unveiling the Idaho Cult. My name is Kathy Brooks, and I am your host. This is a one-woman show, and I appreciate all of you who have left amazingly kind comments and reviews and the five-star ratings, because you know this is not easy. I am a full-time registered nurse. I have 4 kids, 2 grandkids. We just lost my brother. I take care of my 85-year-old mom, and I just appreciate you so much for hanging in there with me while I try to get the story out there. For some reason, this story has grabbed me for the last almost 4 years, and now that it's on the eves of the Lori Vallow trial, I really want to continue so that you get the deep dive, the rabbit holes that really aren't out there in chronological order. So I'm doing my best, and I appreciate all of you that have donated, given me a 5-star rating, made a review, joined my Left Undone Incomplete Investigations YouTube channel, where we talk about this case live stream. And yeah, that's it. I really appreciate you. So let's jump into season 2, episode 13. Please help us. I'm going to play for you the press conference that Kay Vallow Woodcock and Larry Woodcock had. They put up a reward for JJ to find the children. They put up a reward for $20,000 in January of 2020. So we're 3.5 months in here, 3 to 4 months in here, and they are very upset, worried, and basically freaking out. Who could blame them? So Kay and Larry, they travel to Idaho, they meet with law enforcement, and they announce a $20,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan. There is a press conference, and we will listen to that right now.
Okay, who wants to start? And do you want me to just simply give a start with who we are and where we're from and what we're doing? Okay. Kay said, here's a mint, you need it. Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Woodcock, my wife, Kay Woodcock. And we are here to speak about the two missing children, JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan. They have been missing now for approximately 2 months. And we are here primarily this morning to answer some questions that we are allowed to answer. And also, the main topic of this conversation today is the reward that we are posting. There's a $20,000 reward. I have a tendency to get very emotional when I talk about the children. I get extremely emotional when I talk about JJ. JJ is my heart. And I'm hoping that this will allow one person to simply say, I saw, I know where he's at, and give us that information so that we can bring JJ and we can bring Tylee back. If they're here, it no matter where they're at in the United States, we're here to offer a $20,000 reward. These are beautiful young children. They're two extremely intelligent young children. And we want them back. We want them back in our family. If there is anything that Laurie can come forth with and help us, please do it. She knows how much we love these kids. And we want only the best for them. That's it. It's that simple. Please give them back to us. They are just the most unbelievable children you'd ever meet. You won't find two smarter kids, and you won't find two children with bigger hearts. JJ was just developing his own little personality, and what he comes out with is just amazing. And with special needs that he has and has had since he was born, it's amazing to be around this young boy. And so we're asking the public, please, for God's sake, anything anybody needs, please, please step up, call authorities, call the fire station, call the police station.
Call the phone numbers.
And then we're going to give the public a number and a website to also have available if they know something. Any questions now?
First, I'm Caitlin with Channel 8. I'm really sorry, first of all, that you guys are going through this, I couldn't imagine. And forgive me for asking this question, but in based off of what you guys know so far, I know a lot of people, a lot of our viewers, the community members are wondering, do you guys believe that the children are still alive?
We pray constantly. Mm-hmm. They are.
Until somebody tells us different,
right?
We're going with that.
And we have to. We have to go with the fact that nobody has said anything contrary to that. Mm-hmm. And we won't and believe that they are alive. And that's the reason for the reward. It's the reason that we don't say the D word. Mm-hmm. We don't want to. We're not going to, because we truly believe that these kids, and we hope and pray these kids are alive.
I know the community is also feeling the same way.
And thanks so much to the community, too. Yes, sir.
What is this experience? You guys got into Rexburg the other day, coming with authorities. What has that experience been like?
We spent approximately 6 hours with the Rexburg police and with with FBI, regional FBI. And it's nothing but encouraging. They're wonderful to work for. I'm just so happy to see the amount of energy, the amount of input, the amount of work that the local authorities have put towards this. Obviously, nobody knows where these children are. But I can never say one bad word about an effort not being put forth. The effort has been amazing. It really has. Authorities are working on this. We know for a fact, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. FBI is doing the same thing. There's been a number of FBI agents, management, that we know are putting in a nonstop effort, and everybody wants to be positive about it. So I can't say nothing more about how great they've been to work with. Everybody is doing a great job.
Is there any word at all about where Chad and Lori are that you've heard?
No, ma'am. We have not. We don't know. It's my understanding that when some people want to go underground, that they do it. I don't know how to do it. I'd be the easiest person in the world to be called. Go ahead.
I was wondering, do police have an inkling that they're not releasing?
I'm sure that authorities know a lot more than we know.
Okay.
But as far as them saying, we know they're right here. No.
Have there been any sightings that you know of that have been reported of the children?
Not that I know of.
How was Lori with those kids? Did you ever witness her?
Oh,
her
yes.
Mothering instincts?
Oh, absolutely. If somebody 2 years ago would have said, this is what's going to happen with Lori, I would have never believed it. Kay would have never believed it. Kay loved Lori. She was just if Kay and I would have had any thought in the future, we were going to be involved in an issue like this, we would have never let JJ up for adoption.
No.
Never would have happened. But now that this has happened, there's a timeline change with Lori. And it started, here a while back, a few years ago. But no way did we ever anticipate this. No way. And Lori was a good mother. When JJ was young, you couldn't ask for a better mother. She loved JJ. She loved Charles. And I don't know what caused this conversion. You don't go from being the mother of the year, the mother of a special needs child, to the person that won't even tell you where she's at, where he is at, or they are at. That just doesn't happen. And there's no way. And for this to be where it's at today in regards to Lori and to Mr. Daybell, I don't know him. I wouldn't know him probably if he walked in the room. But I do know Lori. And I do know that Lori always had the absolute best interest at heart for JJ. She and Charles were the absolute perfect parents. They were devoted to their church. They were devoted to JJ.
The family.
Yeah. And I, for this change, I don't know how you do that. I don't understand it. I wish somebody would explain it to me. I wish she would explain it to me, because I don't want to hold hatred in my heart. My life's too short, and our lives are all short. We're not promised tomorrow. And all I want before I go is just to see those children, and especially, and I'm being greedy, especially my boy JJ, my little man. And I just want to hear him beat on the drums. I want to hear him say, Papa, let's go ride, or let's go to Checkers and on Prien Lake Road, and let's go get a hamburger. That's what I want. And I'm hoping beyond hope that happens in the near future. And if this reward can prompt that, then that's what I want. But they're good kids. They don't deserve this. And we as a family don't deserve it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Larry. I know when I talked to you guys the other night, you said that you were going to try to make a trip over to the Kennedy Elementary School to talk to JJ's teacher. Were you guys able to speak with the teacher?
No, we spoke with the FBI agent that dealt with the school, and they were able to answer the questions we had. We didn't want to disrupt the school, and you know, and they're just getting back. So,
and we didn't want to put
our questions answered.
Right, so. And we didn't want to put undue pressure on the school system.
Or
they
the
have
teacher.
Enough problems, or yeah. the teacher, either one. And so we were satisfied with the answers we got. It's would I like to sit down with them one-on-one and have a glass of hot chocolate? Absolutely. But I'm not going to press that issue. We are not going to press that issue because we did get the answers, because it was basically the same questions that the FBI and the city police asked, also Sheriff's Department. So for now, we're very satisfied with that.
What were those questions that you were looking to get into?
Our biggest concern with JJ, because obviously Tylee was not in school here, was his appearance. Laurie was a hairdresser by trade. And if you will notice this picture of JJ, his hair looks matted. And
not at all like he ever had it.
Yeah.
His hair was always
perfect.
Perfect. And he knew from when he was tiny that if mom did my hair, he didn't mess with it. He did not mess with it. So,
and he's a handsome boy. He's just a very handsome
young
boy.
She always kept his hair in little stylish ways and little spikes, you know, things like that with that gel. And so he was good about it. And to see that made me feel like he was being taken care of at home. But the answers we got, you know, it
satisfied.
Mind, so
when was the last time you spoke with JJ?
August 10th on a FaceTime.
36 seconds.
That sounds like that wasn't very long. Mm-hmm. Normally you spoke a lot longer with him.
Well, yeah. let me explain JJ. His mind raced at 100 miles an hour. And he would call us all the time on the cell phone or call us on FaceTime. And the first thing he would say is, "Papa, Mama." And then he'd take the phone or the iPad and he'd start walking. So we knew every ceiling and every home that they were in. And he'd talk to you. And sometimes he may call and say, "Papa." And then he'd just go away.
Gotta go by.
I mean, that was his thing. So we accepted that in him. And then when he wanted to talk, he'd call us back and talk. He may call us sometimes four or five times, just literally back to back to back. And during the summertime when he was swimming, he loved to swim. He had no fear in life of anything. That was one of the reasons that you had to watch him so very close, because when he was in the front seat of the vehicle with me and I had his seatbelt on, I had to watch him really close. It was almost a ritual. Turn the key off. First thing I'd say, "JJ, don't get out of the truck. Don't get out of the car. Don't get off the tractor. Don't get off the bus until Papa gets ready," because if you did, he would just take off and go. And he loved to run. He loved to be outside. Most of the pictures and videos we have, he's outside. He loved to be outside. So you had to watch him close. I mean, but
has he said anything to you guys about maybe it's something that might indicate, you know, mom is taking us to this in a few days or anything of that nature? Or has he alluded how about any concerns he had about Chad? Did he ever voice anything about?
We don't know that, gentlemen.
Okay.
We don't.
Did he ever talk about him?
After Charles was murdered, July 11th, we've had three contacts with JJ, three very short FaceTimes, that last one being the shortest. Mm-hmm. We don't know why we weren't allowed more access to him, but we reached out constantly in every way, email, voicemail, text, phone call, whatever, and never, ever got a response. So that was very concerning to us.
What were those three calls like? Was he happy? Did he seem excited? Or was he?
JJ was always happy.
Just, well, I always
have
to see him.
Oh, I mean, he did.
Like any kid, they love to see their grandparents.
Yeah, because you know, they know that we will. He knew that we will spoil it. I mean, that was with all my grandkids. You know, we have M&M bowls so that when they walk in, my son is 50 years old, and you know, he still goes to the M&M bowl, and it's a big, tall bowl. JJ was the same thing. Not only would he go to it, he'd get a chair, get up there, put his legs around the bowl, take the top off, and just sit there and eat the M&M one at a time. You know, he may get a handful of them, but he'd reach in there and eat one at a time. And so there's everything had a routine to it, I guess you could say.
Did anything seem off routine in those last calls?
Yes. The last call was somewhat of the most it was the awkward call, because it was a call like somebody was watching him, directing him.
What made you feel that way?
Having had so many calls from JJ, you know, we knew his routine and his excitement. If anybody has seen the video where I sing to him, which I'm sorry, I'm not a singer. But don't pay attention to me. Don't pay attention to JJ. Look at the window on the side of the bus and watch JJ, the excitement.
You can see his reflection.
You can see his reflection.
He's not on camera.
Yeah. And if you ask me today, what moment in the last 7 years do I want to have in my memory for the rest of my life? It's that moment that I see him in reflection dancing. I mean, he's just jumping up and down, and he's so excited. He knew he was going to ride home in the bus. Look, we drove a 56 passenger bus to Houston just to pick him up.
Our company was a
transportation
we had buses
company.
And
so
I
never even paid attention to it. That was the amazing thing. I just, we took it and I seen it and I laughed about it. But when Kay pointed out, look at him in the reflection, that changed the whole perception of that video. And I promise you, it's not me singing that I'm excited about, that's for sure. But it was seeing him, the way he reacted to Kay and I. Yeah, go ahead.
So do you think that he was being rushed off of these calls?
Yes, I do.
Was he looking off screen?
Yes.
Someone? He was okay.
Yeah, there was somebody else there.
Holding the device. Normally he would hold the device and he'd run around with it. And that's when we'd normally see the ceiling, because he wouldn't point it at him. He'd just have it in his hand running.
Yeah.
So that has been, it's like JJ could read. He was a very good reader. And so I could, it's like somebody had him holding something up here. And so he looked up at it and he's like, gotta go, bye. And it was that fast.
36 seconds.
Are police reviewing that video?
We don't have it.
I don't have it. Yes, sir.
Are you concerned that there's so many deaths surrounding Lori at this time?
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
What were you thinking when you heard about the death of her husband's and her brother?
How do you put this together?
When,
who writes a story that started 2-3 years ago? Our thoughts, and make it what it is today. Look, we watch a little bit of television.
News. we knew it was a murder. We knew Charles's death wasn't a justifiable homicide for them. That we knew immediately when it was that was wrong, that yes. That's not what it was. So we were concerned at that point, highly concerned. And the fact that Lori had communicated to numerous people and to Charles
prior
to his death, that she was done with Charles. She was, JJ was too much for her, that she just wanted them out of her life. And that was back in January. And so a lot of things happened since. And then for Charles, that happened that day in Chandler, for that to happen, it's like they set him up.
Setup from the go.
Because it wasn't right. And then you move forward to Brandon's Boudreaux's attempted murder. And we didn't know it at the time about Tammy's the paintball gun ordeal on the 9th, I believe, October, and then Tammy's passing on the 19th. That was just this whole thing, and we're on the inside, and we see these things going on, and as things happen, we're like, wait a minute, we're blown away. I mean, we'll tell our family, you know, it's like there's a bunch of us fellows, and so, and the Woodcocks and Lake Charles people. And so we're the ones that just try and funnel everything through us so we can, and we let everybody know things. And that has, for us to call our family and tell them these things, it's everybody's blown away. You can't comprehend it. You just can't. And there's a lot of this that I can't comprehend. Like, I can't comprehend that Lori is refusing to say where the kids are. I mean, I just don't understand it. I never will. I quit trying to understand it because that's getting me nowhere. But I just plead for her to please, you know, just let us know where the kids are. It's not difficult. It will end all of this, as far as the kids are concerned. And then, you know, we'll go on our way. I mean, we'll deal with my brother's death. We haven't even had time to mourn my brother's death at this point, because our feelings went from my brother's death to, okay, we're worried about JJ. And so then it's taken just time, and it seems at a snail's pace. And then, man, in October, it just started. Things were happening, and then it's blown up. And then when, you know, before Christmas, when all this, you know, all the media was brought into everything, Larry and I have just been nonstop, and we won't stop until we know
where they are. We just want an answer. That's all.
Did you have any much to do with Tylee? Did you ever talk to her or talk to her on video?
I mean, Tylee was always, she's 10 years older than JJ. She, you know, was always doing her thing. She had her friends. And so, of course, I was around her when we would go visit. Or Lori really quit coming to Lake Charles a few years ago, when Charles would come and JJ. So I really wasn't around her that much. Over the years, yes, but nothing, you know, nothing ever stood out or nothing, you know.
She was a typical young teenager. She had her friends. They were either at her house or she was at their house.
She graduated early from high school?
Yes.
When she was how old?
I'm not sure.
We're not sure. But I know that it was approximately 15
or 16
years of age.
Have police
or FBI or investigators spoken with you guys about any of the evidence that they've been collecting or combing through that they took from the house?
No.
And right now, we want the authorities to do their job.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to interfere with them. If they call us this week and give us an update, great. We appreciate it. We want it. But if they don't and they don't have anything to offer, we understand the reason. There is a reason. And we're not going to bother them. We want them to use all the forces and the ability they have at hand to make this come to a good fruition.
When did you realize something was wrong?
When Charles, the day after, or a couple of days after Charles
was killed.
When
we found out he was murdered the next day.
Yeah.
We didn't know till the next day, the afternoon, when Lori texted Charles's two eldest sons in Texas and told them that their dad died and she was making funeral arrangements.
The way it was presented to the family is not normal in any way, or circumstance. That was not normal. Your husband of 12, 13 years is shot to death and you say, oh, he had a heart attack.
No, she didn't even tell us that. She didn't. All we knew is that he was dead. And Larry he Googled Charles's name, and that's when we found out that he had been
murdered,
been killed. Because Larry called me as soon as he Googled it and said, they killed him. And I knew exactly. He said, Alex killed him. And so Charles was wary of Alex for a long time. Alex has a reputation of just no conscience, he would do things for Lori that were just, I'm one of six children, and I have, none of my brothers are going to go hurt somebody for me. Well, I mean, you know, not within reason. And so this is just the strangest relationship. But I'm not in it. I don't know that. And right now that has nothing to do with finding the kids.
It's all about JJ. That's it.
There's been some media reports that Lori thinks that she's the reincarnated version
a trans,
of Joseph transplanted Smith's wife.
Something.
Have you heard that?
I did. Charles told me about this months ago, and it was strange. It was he was highly concerned about it. Her mental state. And the fact that she had made threats towards him, that it was just, it all culminated into that, that cult that she's in.
And it's an end of the world
type. Yeah, their doomsday begun.
Okay, do you know if your brother had a life insurance policy?
We're not going to comment on that.
Okay.
Yes,
So back to the children. When did you discover no one had seen JJ since September?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
So when did you discover that no one had seen JJ since September 23rd?
September 23rd?
No. It was in October.
October?
Yeah. I'm the timeline person.
She is, and I apologize.
And what was that moment? I mean, did you get a call that nobody saw?
Well, it was just a
combination,
a progression towards it. Like, okay, well, where's JJ? We were able to keep up with him through our measures that we took, and we were able to keep up with him to an extent, at least knowing where they were living. And so when we lost track of that, and then when they came up here to Rexburg, and we were able to find out where they live, but that's when we really started getting concerned, because we had no resources here to check on things. And although we were in process of remedying that, and getting more detailed information about him, then that's when just the FBI and it just the way it just all came together. It wasn't a aha moment at all. It was just a progression.
In recent police reports, they said that witnesses had said that Lori had been seen telling people that her daughter had died before her father's death, and that Chad had been telling people that Lori had no young children.
Sends chills up our spines. That I can't explain that. I don't know that. I don't know where or how anybody in any would think to even say that, or I don't know that just that brought it home for us. It was like, oh my God, this is something really bad. And so at that point we've gone through a very hard time, but that's okay. It will be fine. We'll get through it, but just, you know, we just pray in the end we get JJ and we get to spend more time with him, and you know that he's okay. And that Kylie's okay.
In the course of all this happening before that, did you ever hear Lori mention Chad or anyone like Charles mention Chad?
Mm-hmm.
Was he ever in the picture before this? Yes. Before they got married?
Yes.
How did they talk about him? How did she know him?
Charles suspected they were having an affair, and he told me about it, and he told me, he showed me what he had that made him think that, and he was right. He was spot on.
What kind of evidence was there?
It was just some things that we discussed, and he showed me.
And she's been married how many times now?
Well, Chad's number 5.
Did he have any worries about him other than the affair? Did he seem concerned about her safety with him?
No.
Did she?
Wait, her safety with Chad?
Yes.
No. Charles was worried about his safety with Alex and Lori. He was concerned because Lori had a voice that she, you know, that she would murder anyone that got in her way, or however it was. I can't quote me on that, but it went something to that effect.
I wanted to ask you about the other night. I didn't get a chance to ask you. You said there was 2 attempted murders that failed. And you just mentioned one was Brandon Burdeaux. Who is this person and what?
Brandon?
Yeah.
Lori has a niece. Her name is Melanie. She and her husband Brandon have 4 children. They lived in Phoenix, Gilbert, I believe. And Melanie is involved in this cult as well. And so they were getting divorced. She wanted a divorce too. And she wanted out. And then Brandon did have a life insurance policy. And so one day he was coming home from the gym and somebody was there in a Jeep that he identified as someone in the family's Jeep, and that they shot at him and missed him by inches. But he had not turned into his driveway yet, so he accelerated and quickly got out of the area and notified law enforcement. So that you can form your own opinion on that.
And I know that right now police do not believe that the children are with Lori and Chad, but do you guys think that maybe the 2 children are together wherever they might be?
I pray they are.
Yeah, okay. That's our prayer.
Okay.
But do we know a fact? No. We absolutely do not know.
And there has been a time where she's kept them away before. Is that kind of normal after this change happened that you've tried to make contact and she hasn't allowed you to?
Okay. Start with
that. Yeah. Has there been a period of time where you haven't been able to see or talk to JJ before?
No, never. He's always been accessible to us. Always.
Yeah. What was Tylee's relationship with JJ and her parents?
Typical teenager.
Sister. She was a sister to JJ. I actually have a video, and I need to send that out because it's a cute video and it's her playing with him. And I guess he was probably three, maybe two. Anyway, it's really cute. And I didn't even realize I had it. I ran across it the other day. So I will post it or get it out there.
Back in September, when JJ was reported being taken out of school, Tylee wasn't in school. Do you have any idea where she was in September?
No, none.
Did she ever reach out to you guys?
No.
Did she have another set of grandparents that she ever contacted?
She does have Lori's parents.
My mother and dad.
And Joseph Ryan. His parents?
I don't know anything hardly about Joe's family, but Lori's parents are alive and they are, I guess they're in Arizona.
Do you have any contact with them?
No.
Are they aware of what's going on?
Yes.
Okay, we'll just take a couple more questions to let you guys get going.
JJ felt as if he were in trouble, would he be the type to run away?
Well, what kind of trouble? Stranger danger or, you know?
I guess we can only speculate as to what Lori and Chad could have, maybe, if they are involved in their disappearance. You know, at this point, they're not really suspects. But
JJ was always, everybody involved with JJ wanted to keep him safe. Mm-hmm. So we always told him, JJ stay with Papa. Mm-hmm. Kay would do the same thing. Her mom and dad did the same thing, mm-hmm. You know, that you had to be visual with him at all times. Mm-hmm. And he would take off. He loved to run. And one of the homes they had a long time ago was by a golf course. He ran those greens up and down. He loved to run.
Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't know he's. Stop or go, and go is 100 miles an hour. Yeah. It was one or the other.
I'm just wondering if maybe if something in that home just didn't seem right to him, or if he felt in danger, would he
wouldn't. I don't think he has the wherewithal to formulate that opinion. Sure. And then the other part is he didn't understand fear. And so that was a big part of his personal safety. Whenever you had him with you, you had to be extremely careful, and he would just jerk out of your hand and just take off. It didn't matter if it was a busy street or anything. He would just do it. And, you know, and he did it with me one time, and I thought, it scared me to death, but, you know, I mean, it was okay. There was nothing.
You had to be aware around him. But as he got older, I can say this, it wasn't as bad as when he was three or four. And as Kay said, you know, he's a couple of years behind in his age and his emotions. But that's the reason the last time we saw him that I was starting to see a side of him that we had never seen. He was being funny and he was being...
He was picking at me.
Yeah, he would pick at you, and he never did that. Mm-hmm. And so it was a changing at all.
I think we're going to wrap this up.
What I would like to do, please, everybody, please, you know, get a copy of the poster and try to spread it as much as possible.
Could you tell us the number?
The Rexburg PD phone number is 208-359-3000. And the NCMEC phone number is
5678.
And the website is www.findjjandtylee.com.
If they saw this, what would you like to say to Tylee and JJ?
Come, call us. We'll be there as quick as we can get there. We'll get authorities there to pick you up. Just someone out there, you can't tell me someone doesn't know something about these children. Someone does. Can give us one piece of information. That's all we want. And we want JJ back. We want Kylie back. And we want closure on this. And that's the reason I'll say it again. Thanks to all the authorities that are involved in this, the effort that is being put into it. It's honestly amazing. It's just, we never, in my entire life, I have never been involved in something like this. And to see the effort that is put in this is unbelievable. So please, if you know something, as the saying goes, say something. And call us. Call the authorities. Call the church. Call a fire station. Anybody.
Call the phone number on the flyer.
Just get them. I don't care. Look, call somebody. That's all we want. And
thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
It's just really sad to hear them, because as we know, when we move forward, these children are not alive. We all know that. It's no secret here. But they're just such kind-hearted people, and they have had such grace and composure through this entire thing. I can't say I would be the same. So I really appreciate them, and our thoughts and prayers are with them for sure, through the trials that are brewing here. So we will continue with this. Thank you again. I got a very kind, generous donation today through PayPal, and I really appreciate that. That helps me keep the show going. And if you would like to join us on YouTube, it's Left Undone, Incomplete Investigations. And my name is Kathy Brooks, and we do go live every Saturday as much as I possibly can. And we will continue, because we are really invested in this case, and I am just ready to see justice for these children and for Tammy Daybell and, of course, Charles, because that case is brewing after this is over. I do plan to go to this trial, Lori Vallow's trial, at least a couple of days at some point. I haven't made my schedule yet because of my day job. But I will keep you guys posted, and I do plan on going. Again, thank you so much. My name is Kathy. Stay safe, stay well, and I will be back soon. Take care. Bye-bye.